Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me.
All right. Yeah, somebody on Twitter, Toy Story 3, one of the very good Toy Stories. Poignant, Dom Giordano Show, asking you a side question of the day. When do you tear up? When do you get misty? With me, it's more when it's a positive, when it's something that's overcome rather than sad. You know, in most films still, you can have sort of a mixed ending, like the ending of The Sopranos. You know, people get upset with the ending of The Sopranos. I don't know if they want to know what happens or they want Tony dead or don't want him dead. But if you end with a bad ending, with a negative ending, you're going to go back and do it over.
Toy Story's okay with, a weird situation where the first movie came out when I was the same age as Andy.
Right.
So when Toy Story 3 came out, it was when I was going off to college with Andy. They actually had the kid grow up with people who were his age during the first movie. So in Toy Story 3, this is what Dan mentions, when Andy decides to give away his toys and hesitates with Buzz and especially Woody. And for me, because I was going off to college, it really hit home and it did give me those tears. But you also stated that you kind of had a similar reaction when that scene occurred, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I love the Toy Story franchise, too. But, yeah, I did have that reaction. Ro puts up with it and watches it, you know.
But I She's don't know not a super fan like Don.
No,
Dom.
I am.
I'm calling you Don.
Of Toy Story. Yeah, I definitely am. Okay. Now, side question then is that film that makes you tear up. All right? Best one we are going to give you, and you'll be happy. I'm looking right at it here in our studios. Man, Mr. February, it's our Dom Giordano Dom Time 2020 calendar. It looks like a lawn side, you see, for victory. And in there, they have me dressed up for each month. And the premise is each month we have talk radio listener days that I think people want to see on a calendar versus what you get on these politically correct calendars. Like, is it this month? It's Dan behind you. Is it Rush Limbaugh's birthday this month?
I would have to pull over the calendar.
I thought it was, or it's something with him. His first show or birthday, it was around that. All right. So that's the premise of the calendar. We put some of it up on Twitter. That's what you're playing for here. Okay. Now, Nancy Pelosi yesterday, this was the money shot. She does her monthly Meet the Media. And it's amazing when it's something big that happens. And of course, with the acquittal and going back and forth with this with President Trump, here's what she said about tearing up the president's speech. Before that, one point I wanted to make. Lindsey Graham out there today has, maybe he said it last night, but he's got the best direct way to counter the media on all this Mitt Romney stuff and God stuff. He said, God is not going to question me. I'm not going to be questioned in the hereafter about why I voted to not convict, to acquit President Trump. And I believe that with my whole heart. Suddenly, though, the media in lockstep says we're attacking Mitt Romney's religion. These are the very people that savage Mormonism. I didn't hear anybody yesterday make jokes about Joseph Smith or any things like that with Romney's religion. And Romney can pontificate all he wants. He's a phony on this. The man has a lot of good qualities. I've interviewed him in person three or four times. I get all that. I think, here's how I would put it, Dan, though. I think conservatives have tried to play ball with Romney much more than he's ever tried to play ball with conservatives. In other words, when he became the fait accompli and all the rest of it, we tried to push him over the line. We tried to overlook some of the things like, what are you going to do? He's got some great qualities. Maybe he would be a good president with that. But he has been an opportunist extraordinaire, even for politicians. It's amazing what he's done over his career. He's very reminiscent of John Kerry. We've tried to push him over the finish line when we've seen that he can't articulate. What would Trump have done, several of you mentioned yesterday, when Candy Crowley jumped right into the ring in debate two in 2020, when Mitt still had a chance because he won debate one, Obama snooze fest. He didn't go back at her. He didn't make her the point. Trump or someone like Newt Gingrich would have savaged her. He wouldn't even worry about getting to Obama on the Russian stuff. He would have said, how dare you, and go right at her. Mitt Romney was looking for someone to jump in and help him. There are certain things that happen to you over a lifetime of the way he was raised and the background and all that. That's why he had that reaction. Trump would have jumped right there and gone after the whole thing. He would have seen it as advantageous. He would have seen it how unfair this was and first go after Candy Crowley. Mitt came up small on that, and that was a major opportunity and turning point. So he's a good man in a lot of categories, but my God, what he's saying and what the media is trying to do is, you guys are fraudulent. Lindsey Graham has broken that down very well. God is not going to say to Pat Toomey, who we had on yesterday, how can you tell me this in your heart? You know Trump was this, that, and the other. How could you lie after you took the oath? That's what Romney's saying, and vote to acquit him. And that is presumptuous, ridiculous, arrogant, and I don't believe true. It's a grandstanding play, big time. He hates Trump because of what Trump has said to him. Fine, I get that. Push back against him. But you don't vote on something this serious to get even. And then wrap it up in God. If he had said, you know what? This guy, I can't vote for him. He's just inappropriate to be president. Evidence of it is what he does to me. That's why I'm voting this way. I can do it and I'm doing it. Don't tell me about God. This is too important and too sacrilegious. You're the one being sacrilegious. Mitt Romney is. All right, so here's Pelosi yesterday trying to explain dignity and words like that as she tears up Trump's speech.
He's talking about things that he knows little about. Faith and prayer.
Yes, ma'am. You often counsel your members to be dignified in their response to the president, take the high ground. Did you step on that message by tearing up the State of the Union?
No, I did not. I tore up a manifesto of mistruths.
A manifesto?
It's very hard
What's
for
a
us
manifesto?
To get you to talk about the issues that we are working on, HR 3, infrastructure and the rest. He misrepresented all of that. Was necessary to get the attention of the American people to say this is not true and this is how it affects you. And I don't need any lessons from anybody, especially the President of the United States, about dignity. Dignity. Is it okay to start saying 4 more years in the House of Representatives? It's just unheard of. Is it unheard of for the president to insult people there who don't share his view, as well as to misrepresent, present falsehoods? Some would use the word lie. I don't like to use the word lie about what he is saying. So, no, I think it was completely, entirely appropriate. And considering some of the other exuberances within me, the courteous thing to do.
The courteous thing. She comes back to that again. He doesn't understand religion, and he doesn't understand prayer.
This is not the truth.
Look, I can say it a number of times. You know what I blame for this? This woman is cruising to be stopped by the Catholic bishops. They don't have it in their hearts. They won't do it. They are, with some exceptions, Chaput tried on some of these things, but as a united force, they just don't challenge these Democrats. They're laughing at them. They're going to wear the shield of their faith. I'm a Catholic. And I know some of you think, well, why does that matter? You know, well, the Catholic vote is a huge vote. And a lot of people, this would be a direct challenge. Get it on for once. That's their duty. They butt into other things, but they're not going to butt into this. When it comes to the immigration thing, they're right there. When it comes to the life issue, they prattle on about it. But those that have the power, and think about this. We could have, I know it's far-fetched at this point, given Biden's standing. But you could have a, quote, Catholic president, a Catholic Speaker of the House, both prattling on about abortion and abortion rights. And they would do nothing about it. They're the ones that have to ask themselves the question, particularly the cardinal up in New York. It's very easy for them to go after Trump and talk morality. And hell, remember the bishop in Tucson that we played you? That wanted the border guards to be told that they are going to be excommunicated. You know what excommunicated means if you're a Catholic? It means if you don't reform, you're going to hell, in their view. That's what it means. Yet, continuing to stoke the abortion industry, they won't step up. They're the ones that are at fault. They're behind this. I know that some of the reasons why. Some of them are progressive. Others, it's because of the priest scandal. They're scared to death because they would get killed with this. So they're crippled by the priest scandal. Rather than directing it straight on and saying we're dealing with it, if that's true, they continue to allow, and Pelosi, the damage of a public figure like this telling us what the Catholic faith is, how adult she is incredible. Good for Trump that he brought up religion at the breakfast. That's the way that I see it. No, he's not that skilled in articulating that. We get all this. But he did bring up two parts. There's so many, the way I would have put it with Romney, there's so many other things you could have challenged me on with this. Why do you bring God into it? What does that have to do with policy here? And he was right to call Nancy Pelosi out and say, I have a right to say, I don't believe you're praying for me. Why are you outraged by that? So I don't have a right to say that. Nope. The media has set up another line. You can't say that. That's the magic of Trump, breaking through that. And they don't get that people are cheering that on. Because they're being told by other people like Mitt Romney that you can't say certain things. You have to just get punched around. All right, 855-839-1210, you get a line. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push #1210 and we'll get you on board. Our side question of the day for the big new calendar, which will be available soon, I know that's being worked on, is the movie where you missed it up. Maybe you weren't sad. Maybe you were even happy. The scene or the part of the film that does it for you. Nobody's called in yet, right, Joe? Nobody saying they're watching the Oscars. That can't be. I mean, the numbers are anemic.
No, nobody has said they wanted to watch the Oscars. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, the ratings went up last year.
Without the host.
Without the host, okay. Yeah. So yeah. It makes sense that they would go without it again this year.
I'm a diehard on this for this reason. I'm just not going to let all these things, I want more things that great numbers of Americans share together, like the Super Bowl. Are we going to see the Super Bowl now because of the, and it was an outrageous performance, we get that, at halftime that people are not going to watch the Super Bowl and everything related to it? I don't think so.
Well, I'll bet you here's the difference with the Super Bowl and the Oscars. The Oscars, you have to pay to go and see every single one of those movies. The Super Bowl, pretty much everybody can watch football for free, right? So I think more people naturally tend to watch sports because they can watch it for free. They don't have to pay $15 to go see it in the theater.
Yeah,
maybe so they know what's going on. They're all connected by it.
Because they haven't seen enough films. Yeah,
why would they want to watch? Yeah. They have no stake in it.
Yeah. Okay. I haven't seen every film, but I still have a stake in it.
You know, they should look at what happened this year and intentionally book quasi-conservative hosts to call out the BS of the people in the audience. Because when we think back of this year's award season, what are we going to think back to?
Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
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 Well, you couldn't let him loose there with them, though. Oh, my God, what he would do. Because he'd get into Weinstein and everything else that's going on right now.
Good.
Well, that's why I'm saying they can't. It would be savage. I would love to see a scene where one of them stands up and says, go to hell. And he says, sit down. I'm the moderator. Yeah. That might put some juice in it. People might, particularly Meryl Streep is the one that I'd like to see taken on here.
The Oscars is a thankless job because no matter what you do, no matter how you do it, you're always eviscerated at the end of your hosting chores. It never is beneficial. It's a lose-lose.
Absolutely. All right, let's go to Butch in Clifton Heights. Hey, Butch, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Don. How you doing, pal?
Good, Butch.
I thought one of the greatest when Trump gave the State of the Union was when he called out the mayor of New York for the abortion, celebrating the new law that they could kill babies.
Yeah, the governor, and by the way, his
department... I wish you would have mentioned him by name.
Right. Well, the Department of Transportation, now they've shot back at New York because of the illegals getting driver's licenses. They will not let you get on a plane, the expedited thing. You know, if you're flying internationally, you have to wait now. Y'all know, that just happened. I love stuff like that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good point, Butch.
That's great.
What's your film?
My film, I think this is the biggest tearjerker ever. I bawled my eyes out. And I used to be an iron worker. The Champ.
The Champ?
Yeah, from the 70s. I think it was Ricky Schroeder. He was a boxer.
Okay, well...
Richard Shorter was a kid, but I can't remember the main actor, but he died. He got beat up and...
Oh, John Voight.
John Voight?
Yeah.
Yeah, telling you, I bawled my eyes out. And then I told all my ironworkers friends the next day, and they all looked at me, get out of here, what are you, crazy? Then one of them saw it, and they called me up, and he said, man, you were right, I bawled my eyes out.
Good stuff, Butch. Great call. Yeah, I wouldn't be saying that, though, 20 stories up or whatever those ironworkers are doing, how far they are, you know? All right, the Champ.
Could you imagine the guy sitting on the in that New York City photo with their lunch pails talking about crying during the Champ?
Oh, God, yes. I think they were thinking about, hey, pass the pastrami here. All right, 855-839-1210. You get a line. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. You just push pound 1210. Coming up, an outfit that I really respect. So I think they get some legitimate numbers. The American Enterprise Institute. They're kind of conservatives. They have a big story up and a big poll up about dating in the era of Trump. And they do say, they have a lot of numbers that say that people, they ask, what issues are deal breakers? I just can't believe that.
Oh, this is going to be great.
I don't believe that, you know, and Ro and I differ on some things when we're first dating. I'm more conservative, but she said to me last night, I love you. What in the world? You know, there's nothing here that... would ever take us apart over an issue or a person or anything like that.
Yep.
Is it really that way?
And yep, it sure is.
That's insanity.
It sure is like that out there.
All right, we'll see.
I can't wait to get into this, Don.
All right, we got to get some people who are still dating, like Joe Sebelia. Dan can look at it objectively. Is it really a deal breaker if you're a Trump supporter? Now, look, if you're a really extreme Trump supporter, you know, all the way and all that type of stuff, versus somebody who is more than mildly on the other side, yeah, I could see that being a problem. But in general, is that really, that's sad if it's impacting dating, relationships, falling in love. It's hard enough. My God. Doesn't do it for me.
No, nothing.
Nope, nothing. Well, I don't like.
I'm going to get you by the end of the show.
I don't like DiCaprio. Yeah. Well, we know the ones not to play particular songs or scenes from a film that get me going. Dom Giordano's show.
Coming to America. Coming next.
No, not at this point. You got to do that. That and the Tarantella for some reason. Oh my God.
Why does a Tarantella?
I don't know.
What?
I get into it.
Makes him cry.
No, not cry. I just get into it. I can't concentrate. It gets me going. There's certain things. Something about it. I think of the Godfather scene. There's something with
Dom,
it.
Dom, when I listen to Polish polka, it really gets
me. There you go.
Me.
All right. Dan, you could have been one of those polka bums in Home Alone when she's trying to get home. You would have been perfect with John Candy. Okay. Dating and politics, American Enterprise Institute says, past research has shown that few Americans are single-issue voters who prioritize one issue above others when deciding how to cast their ballot. Similarly, they don't take a political issue that's a deal-breaker when deciding whether to date someone. But listen to the gauntlet of this. 15% of Americans say it would be impossible for them to date someone who didn't share their views on climate change. Oh, my God.
Oh, come on.
41% say it would be difficult, but not impossible. Close to half of Americans say it would not be that difficult to date someone who disagrees with them on that. So climate change is more of a deal breaker for liberals than conservatives. Okay? So in other words, a conservative, they're saying, if you say you're diehard on climate change, conservatives are not going to say, I can't date that person. Liberals are if it's the other way around. Gun control or gun rights is similarly not an issue that most Americans say would affect their dating decisions.
Differences. Oh, I know someone that.
Well, yeah.
Well, not that guy that I was talking about during break, but I have another friend that, right. Because he is a teacher.
Right.
If you have any kind of anti or pro gun approach, he won't date you because he always goes to the, oh, you know, there's kids getting shot in schools and you're okay with having guns out there? What's wrong with you?
All right. The number one deal breaker issue, and this doesn't surprise me, but it does surprise American Enterprise Institute, is abortion. 24% say it would be impossible to date someone with that. Very somewhat difficult, 44%. Not difficult at all, 32%. Listen to this one, though. Religious freedom. I could see how that could be a deal breaker. I don't know how it would come up, that it would be that apparent. But if you think these religious people, you know, have to be shackled in from the public square, and somebody doesn't, they're like, what? They're actually religious?
Well, there are blazing atheists out there that completely denounce any type of religion.
Right.
So, I hate bringing examples of real life, but I do know a guy that, because he's a blazing atheist, he pretty much looks at anybody that believes a religion and kind of judges them in a very strong sense.
Now, here's the thing that is shocking. 63% of Americans say they would not consider dating someone whose views on Trump differ from their own. 37% said they would consider it. 58% they have an unfavorable opinion of Trump in this, etc. Trump is more of a deal breaker for women than men. Now, you know what it is, and this is constant in this. A lot of these things are deal breakers for women. Men are looking at two things. Is this woman attractive by their standards? And is she pretty nice? That's my theory. Women are looking at all these other issues here. Do you buy that? In other words, men are not going to reject an attractive woman who is relatively nice based upon some issue easily.
I hate
easily.
To be the guy, Dom, and I hate to say it. This is going to PO right. a lot of people. It's mostly liberal men. And I would say the good portion of liberal men do feel that way. But from my experience, conservative men, they're looking for that beautiful, nice woman.
Yeah. 73% of Democrats say they would be unwilling to date someone who expressed views about Trump that were different from their own. My God. 73%, not like 25, are these maniacs. Well, let's see if we have people out there that would admit it, though. Do we have conservatives, Trump supporters, that if they differ? Now, look, I'm not saying they're saying Trump is completely inappropriate, you know, all the things that we hear. But they don't like Trump. Yeah, Dick.
Joe actually does have an issue, a political issue, that he will not date a woman that's on the other end.
And what is that, Joe?
It would definitely be drugs or marijuana. And I'm very anti-drug if there's one thing. Like, I could care less if you what you think of Trump, because Trump's not going to be president forever. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's more something like that really would bother me if I'm raising my kids and I'm trying to send the message to my kids, you shouldn't do drugs. And my wife's like, well, it's not a big deal if you smoke some pot here and there.
At all. So if she's a pot smoker at all, she's out.
No, I can't be with the pot smoker because it's just not my lifestyle.
How about a smoker?
A smoker's fine. Because to me, I don't know everything about marijuana, but from what I understand, like something like marijuana, it's altering your state of mind, I suppose, in a way. And cigarettes are more just addictive. It's not changing the way you're viewing the world at all.
So let me rephrase your question about cigarettes. How about someone that's a heavy drinker?
I probably couldn't. I mean, I would date someone who drinks, but if they were like a full-blown alcoholic, I mean, I don't know that would work out in the long run.
Well, right. That would be pretty tough. All right. 855-839-1210. How did people in Joe's generation, because Dan will have to leave out it. He's taken now. I don't know, all these barriers, and that's with all kinds of social media apps, dating apps, and everything else to hook up. How did people used to get together seemingly more effortlessly and effectively? There's just too many things that people reject the person for, I think. All right, is that what it is? The standards are too picky. They're weird here. Maybe even Joe's. 855-839-1210. You get in. AT&T and Verizon Wireless push out pound 1210, and we'll get you on board.
Push it out.
Yes. Thank you for correcting that. Let's go to Mike in Ben Salem with a question. Hey, Mike, good Friday. Go right ahead.
Hey, Don. I really appreciate you taking my call. Now, my question is, how long is it going to take the goofy trio, Nadler, Schiff, and Pelosi, to try to impeach my president again?
Well, I don't think Pelosi is going to sign off on that. I really don't, Mike. They're agitating for it. The reason she did it, look, she's smarter than this politically. She knew that the base of the party might even oust her. I don't think this was her play. That's why she delayed it so much. So, yeah, they are looking at this already. Bolton, they think, is the peg to have that on. But I would put the odds very low that they can get it and ram it through again. Certainly not before the election. I don't see it happening.
I think they would intentionally do it before the election just to try to throw some more dirt and mud.
Well, wait a minute, though. We get their derangement, but it's not working. His numbers are up better than before. And we said this all along, Mike. As long as he controlled himself, and by and large he did until he was acquitted, he is going to reap the benefits of this. That's exactly what's going to happen. And trying to do it the second time around is going to look really bad. I'm not saying they might not try it, but I think there's not enough of them. They know it would lose the presidential election. And we might even see a number of these people in purple or red districts, Congress people, voted out because of it. That could happen.
Okay.
So I wouldn't borrow trouble. I agree with you. They're virulent, and you always keep a watchful eye on them. But right now, our momentum is moving toward other things than this. They got to figure out, can they win in any other way? This would be a Hail Mary of the worst sort if they tried to do that. What's your film?
My film is Acts of Valor. I have never left the movie theater where everybody was just total silence.
Yeah.
The ending of that movie, just, if you're not an American, if you didn't tear up at that one.
Same result with American Sniper. I saw people actually in the movie theater we saw it when it first came out, standing at attention. That's how brilliant that was. All right. We'd love to hear from you, though. Be honest. Are these things true? Are these deal breakers where you couldn't date someone? Is Trump support or not support so much a part of it? Is abortion the issue? I mean, I don't even know if these things come up early on. So you got to think you're in a few dates. Now, if you're saying to me, it wouldn't get serious, like Joe said, if there's marijuana involved or abortion or something like that. All right. Every tactic is being used on me to get to the finish line here on Friday, the Dom Giordano program. What a week it has been. Thank you. Later on in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll be ready on Twitter at DomShow1210. We'll be asking, what has been the sound of the week? I have my favorites. I mean, it has been just such a rich week locally, nationally. God knows what President Trump can do over the next day. It's got to be exhausting if you actually cover him day to day in Washington. But it's got to be thrilling for people in the media. I mean, who provides more content? Remember here locally, Frank Rizzo, same kind of thing on a local level. There were people that really despised him that had to cover him, liberal media and all that. But they were so grateful the amount of content that he provided. Just incredible. Now, I'm looking at on the horizon now. We have the debate tonight. Yang is back in the debate, but everybody's going to be watching Joe Biden, who is fading fast in New Hampshire. And the Bloomberg campaign is the other thing that will be touted on the horizon, mobilizing a massive ground game and advertising campaign.
You got it!
Spending around, $500 million for Super Tuesday. This is going to be quite a civil war. 855-839-1210, you get on board. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. You just push #1210. Here is, before I take another call, here's Elizabeth Warren. Now, she's caught up. She really has surprised me. I thought at one point she would be the nominee. I don't see it now. Maybe she'll be their VP choice. She's on with the pajama boy, you know, the guy that's on before Rachel Maddow on MSNBC, because six women of color in Nevada have quit her campaign because they're seeing themselves or being used as tokens. Warren acknowledges that, but listen to what she blames. I mean, this is insidious, these people. Her people are the ones committing racial grievance here against minorities working in the campaign. Here's her response on MSNBC.
There's a story in Politico that I saw you responded to, and I just want to get your response to it here on air, about six women of color that quit your Nevada campaign with complaints of a toxic work environment and tokenism. One of them went on the record. I saw that you responded to that and apologized. What do you want to say in response to learning about that?
You know, I believe these women without any equivocation. And I apologize personally that they had a bad experience on the campaign. I really work hard to try to build a campaign and a work environment where it's diverse and open and everyone is welcome and celebrated and gets to bring their whole self to work every day. But I'm also very aware that racism and oppression in this country have left a long legacy. And it creates the kind of toxicity where people, power structures, people take advantage of other people. It's something for which we have to be constantly vigilant and constantly determined to do better. I take responsibility for this, and I'm working with my team to address these concerns.
No, you're not. So here her people are committing acts that these women of color feel are racist or demeaning or tokenism. And what does she do? She blames America. She blames the legacy of slavery and discrimination and all that. My goodness, try doing that. So Elizabeth Warren, Dan, in her campaign, progressives can do that. Try being a conservative white guy and saying, yeah, well, I know people are feeling this sort of thing. I'm not meaning to do that, but it's America. It's America's history of racism. It's not me. Oh, no, it's you. It's you if it happens that way. But if it's Elizabeth Warren and her stooges, well, then it's the legacy of American racism. Now, I know she's fading, but that is just particularly, she is particularly beyond obnoxious. I mean, as I said many times, this is the person who would be the easiest person for President Trump to beat. Doesn't look like it's going to happen now. I still can't believe Mayor Pete in the end. So it's coming down to the bees, Bernie and Bloomberg. All right, let me go to some more callers. Let's go to Mike in Doylestown. Hello, Mike. Welcome in.
Hey, Tom. It's been a while. I haven't spoken to you in a couple
weeks. Yes. Hi, Mike.
Listen, Dom, I think I don't know if you're going to be happy about this or sad about it, but I'm done. I'm not going to be tuning in anymore. I think if you can give me a minute or less than a minute to just try and explain. I think I did not know we were so divided. I mean, like this bad that in the middle of that media, that press conference yesterday, whatever we want to call it, with Trump, not one person. Even when Trump was addressing Mike Lee from Utah, not one person stood up and said, Romney's a decent person. You may not agree with him.
Mike? We can't hear you, Mike. Go ahead.
Baddest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Well, and I'll tell you why, thank you, Mike, it was difficult to do that. And the answer is because Romney, we've carried the water for before, Romney is the one that's insulting everybody else. Romney, by swaddling himself in religion, sending these notes to the other senators, has gone too far with this. He's calling into question the rest of them. That's why they have trouble saying he's decent in this, because this wasn't a decent act. That's the reason why it's so difficult. No one's impugning his religion. These are the people that supported him, that said, hey, what he did as an executive, maybe it was kind of rough, but it wasn't illegal, and the Democrats are making too much of it. Now, Romney's the one that has a lot to answer for here. All right, before Lou Gall, let me get a couple more people in here. Let's go to Don in Mullica Hill. Hey, Don, welcome in.
Hey, Don, how are you? See, good. You mentioned it, and you talked up to Don.
Yes.
So I just wanted to respond to the previous comment. I think a Romney presidency would have been a big disappointment. Think about it. If he couldn't handle a curveball thrown at him during debate, how could we have expected him to deal with Iran or Russia or China or North Korea? It's actually a little bit scary when you think about it. The second thing is, I totally get the Dom Don thing. Not too long ago, my mother stopped over for my birthday, and she got the cake from a local bakery. So, you know, white box, receipt stapled on the top. When we opened it up, it said, "Happy birthday, Dom." So that's kind of a joke in my family. So I totally get it.
Well, you have a lot more people that say Don, though, than say Dom to me. So there you go. What's your film, Don?
My film is the end of Saving Private Ryan, where the elderly Ryan asks his family if he's led a good life, and if he's been a good man,
boy.
Because Miller told him he had to earn it. And I'll tell you, that's the only movie I've ever been to where when it ended, hardly anyone stood up. Everybody just sat there.
That's a sign of a great movie. Thank you, Don. Have a nice weekend. That is a sign of a really good movie when the audience has trouble leaving the theater. You know, sit there, sometimes your mouth agape. You know, you've taken it in, you've suspended reality, and you're into the film, and you have trouble getting up. All right, Lou Gall is here with a lot of stuff, including an interview he did with Al Pacino, who was in a fetal position. And we have the game of the week for a great prize in the 11 o'clock hour. But our eye is on the stuff still coming out of Washington today. U.S. economy adds 225,000 jobs, well above what expectations were. It rolls on with President Trump.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.